It's 107.7 The Bone, Baby Huey and Bimbo Jimbo here. And Jimbo, look at this. The countdown is on. We're less than 2 weeks away from Cow Palace Royale. All Pro Wrestling presents for the first time in 35 years, a local promotion is taking over such a legendary venue. And with that being said, we have a very special guest in the studio.
That's right. We have the first ever and reigning, defending Rock the Promo champion. He is the host with the most of Hood Slam as Brosif Joe Brody. And he is the voice of All Pro Wrestling. AJ Kirsch is live in studio.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here. Am I defending the Rock the Promo championship?
I assume you'll be defending it.
I didn't know I was walking into a promo off all of a sudden, but I'm down to go anywhere, anytime.
So. I know you are. That's why we're so proud of you here in the Bay Area.
I appreciate that.
That is awesome. No, that's one thing I give Jimbo credit. He always gives the best intros to all of our guests. So definitely, I think Jimbo, you can maybe take him under your wing and kind of show him the ropes.
Show him a thing or two about cutting a promo.
show me a lot about a lot of things, I'm sure.
But yes, no, thank you again for making the time today. As Jimbo, you and I have been, for the last few weeks now, we kind of launched officially, unofficially, this like little mini series of interviews with everyone with All Pro Wrestling leading up to the big event Saturday, May 6th, Cow Palace Royale. We had Cesar Black, Will Cuevas, Cody Rhodes himself. That was a very fun interview, by the way, which I'm surprised how far that went off as far as all over the web. People were picking up on our interviews.
Well, said some interesting stuff.
Yes.
But, I mean, we've been really looking forward to getting you in studio here for a while.
Even before the Cow Palace thing,
like, this has been like a goal of ours. So it is a real thrill to get you in studio here.
It's been a goal of mine, too. And I'm glad that our schedules finally, the stars aligned. I'm glad that the time is right to promote Cow Palace Royale on Saturday, May the 6th, because it is going to be, it's the biggest show in All Pro Wrestling history, and that's saying something considering the history that APW has here in the Bay Area, but there are so many fond memories that I have as a wrestling fan, I mean, that I'm sure we'll get into, but just, it's going to be an honor for everybody on that card and for me to just be able to say that we worked the Cow Palace.
That is true. It's Jimbo and I are very excited. When they first announced this, Jimbo and I both were like, oh my God, is this real? Like, we were pinching ourselves. This is awesome. Just because a local promotion that we've been loving for a long time and we love supporting, this just shows how amazing, how well loved All Pro Wrestling is, that they're taking on this legendary venue for this big show, and the card is stacked with a lot of people. So, AJ, just right off the bat, for you, what does it mean for you to be part of this amazing event?
This is really special for me for a couple reasons. I started watching wrestling. I fell in love with wrestling in the spring of 1996. Great time to become a wrestling fan because that was right before the Monday Night Wars got super heated.
Yeah.
I started watching just like 3 months before Scott Hall and Kevin Nash jumped ship to WCW. So I was there just in time to see the birth of the NWO, Austin 316. So it was a super exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
Boyhood dream coming true.
The boyhood dream has come true.
Absolutely. Oh,
absolutely. That was a WrestleMania. I started watching it like 2 or 3 weeks before that WrestleMania.
That's a good time to hop on. Best WrestleMania moment ever.
Great time to be a fan.
Man, I think Austin 316 was the best time. It's an ongoing debate between Jimbo and I.
Well, that was only 3 months later. Yeah. That was still when Austin was on this, you know, this ascent.
Ringmaster.
So for me, my very first live pro wrestling show was WWF at the time at the Cow Palace, headlined by Shawn Michaels versus Vader. Undertaker was there, Mankind was there, Yokozuna, Goldust. Like, I just remember, I have so many vivid memories of that show. I remember exactly where I sat. I remember like marking out for the Undertaker and like doing that hand raise thing that he did. And so, for a wrestling fan, for my entire adult life, the majority of my life altogether, to be able to be on the performing end at the venue where I saw my very first wrestling show is just super special for me.
That's really amazing. Cool. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
That is some serious, like, full circle stuff.
That's the other thing Jimbo knows is for my brother and I, like, one of our very first wrestling shows was our parents took us to the Cow Palace. Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh,
and
man.
So just that's back in the early 90s during that whole rivalry. So I could totally relate. So just to come full circle now and see a lot of people that Jimbo and I love and respect and have become great friends with, this is this amazing time. So that's why we encourage everyone, get your tickets now, allprowrestling.com. You can also go to universe.com/allprowrestling, or I believe it's APW Cow Palace. So just go to universe.com, look up APW, and I'll put all the links up at 1077thebone.com.
And the floor seats, I checked with the promoter before, the floor seats are almost sold out.
Yeah.
Like, there are not a lot of floor seats left. And when you're thinking about the Cow Palace, like that's a legit huge arena.
Yes.
So for the fact that almost all the floor seats are sold out, like that's a big deal.
I want to give Jimbo credit. Thank you. I want to thank you, Jimbo. He told me early, right away, when tickets went on sale, so I got great seats next to Jimbo this time around.
Yeah, because the backstory on that is that Huey's always not been the quickest one on the trigger for buying floor seats. There was a show very recently in All Pro Wrestling where I was sitting front row because it was Cody Rhodes and Penta El Cerro Miedo. I'm not gonna miss that. It was two of my all time favorites. And Huey's like, oh yeah, I'll buy them. Like a month later, did you buy them yet? No. I was like, dude, I think they're gone. He's like, I'll buy them right now. It's like, so I just got general admission.
What'd you get for relying on baby Huey?
That's what it is. I got mine immediately because I had a feeling that I couldn't wait for him.
The whole night, my brother and I were just watching the back of Jimbo's head. We were trying to throw stuff at him. He kept turning around and said, should have bought a better seat.
Right?
Should have seen the view I had. It was great.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. So we can't wait. And I believe Jimbo, there's going to be tailgating before. It's like the official, unofficial party as well. Like, I've seen a lot of people on Facebook talk about this. So it's like, get there early, 2:00, I believe?
Yeah, I mean, and the cool thing, I mean, just the electricity and the air about this whole event. I mean, you're tapped in, obviously, with Hood Slam, and there's all this great local Bay Area wrestling. I mean, what is the vibe like just sort of across the board? It's coming close. I mean, do you sort of feel that, like, electricity? Because it does feel like it's this big community event that's going to be going down.
It does, yeah. Like, as each day that passes, I get more and more excited, and not just for APW Cow Palace Royale, which again is just going to be an absolutely history-making show. I mean, we'll get into who's on the card a little bit later, but absolutely stacked from top to bottom. Stars of yesterday, stars of today, stars of tomorrow. But Hood Slam is the night before. And so if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, it is an extremely exciting time to be a wrestling fan because you've got APW, which is a far more family-friendly, more traditional pro wrestling product, and the talent that they have, I mean, regardless of if they have quote-unquote names on the card or not, the talent at every single APW show is absolutely off the charts, comparable, if not even a little bit more motivated than what you might see on a Monday night, because the guys on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, they have their spot. These guys at the independent level are scratching, clawing, doing everything they can just to get noticed.
It's kind of like college football to the NFL. You know, you'll see those crazy plays.
Right. And so you've got Cow Palace Royale Saturday night. And then the night before you've got Hood Slam, which is strictly a 21 and over show. So for anybody who is looking to like absolutely just let loose on a Friday night where you can drink and smoke and enjoy live music and just lose your freaking mind, you've got Hood Slam Friday night. You've got All Pro Wrestling Saturday night. It's going to be one of the greatest weekends in the history of Bay Area wrestling.
Because isn't there something going on Sunday too as well? I believe. I think there's some type of wrestling event alongside with some food trucks or something like that.
Yeah, Caesar Black has an event going on across the street from the Costco parking lot. The food truck's over by Slim's and DNA Lounge.
Yeah.
Right over there. I think
oh, my God.
72-hour wrestling extravaganza for the Bay Area.
Yeah, so rest up and start hydrating now because next weekend is going to be absolutely packed.
That's very true. And the thing about Hood Slam is Jimbo and I, when we were there, Jimbo, a lot of hot chicks there.
That is very true. The ladies, they definitely no shortage there.
So yeah, we like to brag that Hood Slam.
I credit the host.
I love my job. Hood Slam, we like to brag that Hood Slam is the only wrestling show you can go to and get laid. Like
that's a great selling point.
Yes,
by
it
the
is.
Way.
Yes, it is.
We gotta go again.
Selling point. Yeah, absolutely. No, I want, dude. Honestly. Was so much fun. It is the most unique wrestling experience around, and that venue you guys have now, it's
the
just
Oakland
like
Metro Opera House.
It was an awesome thing that you've done there, and just the package that you put out there, terrific stuff. But I want to circle back because your first wrestling show was the Cow Palace.
Yes.
How soon did you know that this is the industry you want to be a part of? How did you get into wrestling? Because I'm so interested in more of just your story.
Yeah. Well, so spring of '96 became a fan, and then I became a fan at a really unique time because that's, like I said, that's when the Monday Night Wars really started to heat up. That's when the Attitude Era started coming out, and that's when things just got really, really interesting as a wrestling fan. And so as I kind of grew into my teenage years and kept growing as a human being, pro wrestling was kind of growing right along with me. So it was just this, it was this phase I never really grew out of. And so the more I came to watch it, and I would like tape Raw and watch that like two or three times over the course of the next week because I just needed my wrestling fix. And of course I'd be going back and forth between Raw and Nitro, and then ooh, all of a sudden there's ECW over here making some noise, and this is different and refreshing. I really like this. And so just, I never really grew out of it. And the more I got into it, the more I was just kind of like, I wonder what it would be like to actually get in there and be a performer, be on that end of things. And it was, you know, I was in high school at the time, and I remember reading an interview with Mick Foley, who was one of the two guys that made me want to be a pro wrestler. It was Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels. And are those your boys too?
Okay. Especially, I mean, I love Mick Foley, but like I'm the Shawn Michaels mark till the day I die.
Absolutely, me too. But he said, if you're too young to join a wrestling camp, which you usually need to be 18, join your high school's wrestling team, because there's a lot of crossover. It teaches you how to work out and eat right. And, you know, it just translates really well to pro wrestling. So I did that, and I was like a doughy kid, up until my senior year of high school. Like between my junior and senior year of high school, I went from the 189 pound weight class to the 154 pound weight class.
Whoa.
Yeah, I dropped a lot of weight. And to this day, I attribute my discipline in the gym and my eating habits to what I learned when I was on my amateur wrestling team. So if you're listening to this and you want to be a pro wrestler and you're too young to join a pro wrestling school, join your school's wrestling team.
Wow. Very interesting stuff. Very cool. So that's how you started to get into it, the wrestling team. When did you sort of make that segue, though, when you were old enough? And what did you, like, what was the support level like from your family? What did you get any blowback from that? Because, like, I mean, my dad is the most supportive father. I could say nothing bad things, but they're nothing but good things, rather. But there is times where he's like, man, you're still into that wrestling, huh? It's like, because, like, you, I've never grown out of it. And I tell him, it's like, yeah, you know, like, ideally, I'd love to do something in that. And he's like, really? He's like, but you work for the Warriors. You know all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but I'd still rather be this.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
So the brief story on that is I went to school at Chico State, and I remember wandering around downtown one night, and this big dude in a luchador mask was handing out flyers. And I was just like, what's this about? This seems somewhat wrestling related. And he was passing out flyers promoting a local school, a local wrestling school that was in Yuba City, which was an hour away. And so as I was going to school and earning my BA in communications, I was also going to wrestling school and learning how to be a pro wrestler. And I would commute to Yuba City 3 days a week, you know, practice for 2-3 hours a day. And, you know, I just kind of made up in my mind that that's what I wanted to do. And I even, like, I graduated from college a year early to get a jump start on pro wrestling, because I knew my body only has so many years in it. So I was just like, I've got an expiration date on this. So I did, you know, winter intersession classes. I did summer classes. And I even chose communication studies to get me more comfortable with talking in front of people, because I knew that that's a big part of pro wrestling, which is probably one of the reasons why I'm so comfortable talking in front of people and cutting promos. And so it got to the point, like, I was taking argumentation and debate, public speaking, critical thinking, propaganda, and mass media. And it got to the point that I was even nominated to speak at my commencement ceremony the year I graduated. But the reason I think I wasn't selected is because I told them I was going to pursue the dream of pro wrestling out of college. So work out the way I wanted to. They picked somebody who had a very uplifting story, but I still feel like I would have done a better speech.
I have no doubt about that. I've seen your promos, so I have no doubt.
Do you remember your first match?
Yes, I do. So it was October 25th. I think it was a Wednesday night. It was this random night. October 25th, 2005, in Chico. So it was cool just wrestling in front of my friends, and, you know, my mom and dad came out, my friends from high school came out, and I don't remember much about the match itself. It was like over before I could even, like, you know, I remember walking out to the ring. I remember standing in the ring. I remember my opponent coming out, and then I don't remember much. And then I remember being back in the locker room after the match, just being like, holy crap, like, you did it. This is the first step, and you did it.
Nice.
So it was surreal. Absolutely surreal.
So who were some of the local guys around here that really helped you kind of get comfortable in the ring?
Uh, f- First and foremost, my longtime tag team partner, Nate Rules, he and I formed a tag team in All Pro Wrestling years ago called Ego. And really, they just kind of put us together because they really didn't have anything else for us. They were just like, hey, this kid's kind of new. This guy's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. Let's put him together and see what happens. And so we became APW tag team champions and had a really good run. Like, I'm very, very thankful for my time at All Pro Wrestling when I was still super green, and very thankful to this day for Nate for kind of like taking me under his wing and showing me the ropes, literally and figuratively.
Nice. So how long were you wrestling up until when you got on Tough Enough?
So Tough Enough was 2011. I've been wrestling for five and a half years at that point, because I started in October and then, in February. So 5.5 years at that point. And that was really kind of a random thing for me. Like, I just remember seeing on Facebook that, you know, my friends in the industry were just like, oh yeah, Tough Enough's coming back and maybe I should make a video and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I think somebody should be on that. You know, they got to have somebody on that show. I think it should be me. I don't know why not. You know what I mean? Like, why not? What's the worst that could happen? So I ended up making a video and sending it in, and they ended up, you know, getting back to me. And after a series of very thorough phone interviews, Skype interviews, they ended up flying 28 people to LA for in-person interviews. They ended up sending 14 of them home, and the 14 that they kept went right into shooting the show.
Wow.
No so way. They told all 28 people, like, pack for 6 weeks.
Who are these interviews with? Anyone we might know, or is it more just more the TV side of?
John Laurinaitis was on the panel.
People power.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else that I recognized, but I'm sure there were other representatives from WWE there, but he was the only one that I actually recognized from just like, it's his opinion matters. I mean, everybody's opinion matters, but his opinion matters.
Was that film all in L.A.?
That was filmed in Simi Valley, yeah.
Wow.
At this beautiful, like, equestrian estate with, like, the stables were converted into our training facility, and the house was just amazing and just hot tubs and, well, I mean, it just...
It was like the real world.
It was the full-on reality experience. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, because your season was, like, when the first time they came back after, like, a few-year hiatus, but, like, this was, like, back as far as training off-site, because... For a while, I mean, the original couple seasons, Tough Enough, it was like them offsite and they filmed it all in advance. And then for a couple years, it was like on SmackDown, right? Like, they did it live.
It was like the million dollar Tough Enough.
Yeah,
that Daniel Pewter ended up winning.
Yes. Yeah, didn't, right. Yeah, almost Kurt Angle almost took his head off.
Yeah.
That was an interesting time. But so, yeah, just that time doing your season, like, what were just some of the highlights of that?
Oh, my God. So... Just, it was moment after moment of having to remind myself out loud that I wasn't dreaming. Because as a longtime wrestling fan and as an aspiring WWE superstar, like this little anecdote was not shown on TV. So I get a particular kick out of telling this story. After one of our earlier days of training, John Cena was the guest. He dropped by and talked to all of us and gave us pointers and everything. And that night, we get back to the house. And there's this huge, in the dining room, there was this huge, long, like, table, like, that Mr. Burns would have or something. And so we all sat down at the table, and there were, like, steaks and veggies and potatoes and just, like, a feast, right? A freaking feast. Everybody sat down at the table, but at this head of the table was Stone Cold Steve Austin, and at this head of the table was John Cena. Wow. And just, you know, they were just kind of... shooting the breeze, and all of us are just kind of like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Try not to mark out.
Who'd you sit closer to?
I was right in the middle, actually.
Okay.
I was just like my head was just on a swivel, like, yep, this is happening right now. This is the coolest thing ever. Pinch myself. Nope, not dreaming. This is real.
I mean, how was, like, Stone Cold and that, like, you know, one, the stuff that maybe didn't make the show as far as the actual sort of nitty gritty, as far as, you know, the training and all that jazz?
Yeah, well, so obviously not everything made the show, but the cameras were always on.
Yeah.
So he was always Stone Cold, your coach, your trainer, you know, this fury that was just standing in front of you and just like burning a hole through you with his eyes. And, you know, like, I was obviously eliminated, but there were just moments where I was, you know, staring at Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was giving me advice, and, you know, he complimented my ability to do roles, and that's why he called me Tumbleweed. So I'm just kind of like, man, am I glad he gave me a positive nickname and not a nickname like skid marks that poor Ryan got. Like, that's just that was just bad luck. Like, and it stuck too, which kind of
that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
Didn't The Rock appear on that season as well and give you props?
Yeah. Okay. So my last episode, the skills challenge was cut a promo on Bill DeMott, who was one of the trainers. And, you know, I felt like I took a bit of a risk because I put a lot of what I was really feeling into the promo. It wasn't just like, you and I are going to have a match and I'm going to beat you, blah. Like, that's boring. So I was like, I'm going to make this feel as real as possible. So cut the promo on Bill, and Rock declared me the winner of the promo challenge. But I had some rough days leading up to that point, so it wasn't enough to save me that episode. So I got eliminated that same episode. But that was definitely my shining moment on the show. And I think
foreshadowing future events,
a little bit of foreshadowing,
right?
Some future events. Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's get into that. I mean, you are the Rock the Promo champion, the first ever. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
All right. So you should be following The Rock on all things social media because he's hilarious. And he's as genuine in person as he appears on social media.
He really seems like one of the coolest dudes there is. Just like seems like a very like compassionate but awesome guy.
Yes, exactly. And so I think it was Instagram that I saw this first, but he sent something out on Instagram saying that he's launching a YouTube channel, he and his production company, Seven Bucks Productions, and he's launching it with the Rock the Promo competition, which was a 10-week episodic series that appeared on his YouTube channel. Like, this was the first project on his YouTube channel, and he had wrestling greats such as Cody Rhodes and Christian and Tommy Dreamer and The Hurricane, Mick Foley and Edge, and you know, they would evaluate promos that fans would send in as their best wrestling persona, and eventually they would crown the first ever Rock the Promo champion. I was like, I know how to cut a promo. I think I can cut a pretty good promo. And you know, I've been doing Brosif Joe Brody at Hood Slam for years at this point. It's a character I'm very comfortable playing. And so I was just like, I'm going to cut a promo as Brosif. And just, again, somebody's got to win. I think it should be me. Why not? So the hell with it. Let's give it a shot. And lo and behold, he declared me the Rock the Promo champion. And it's kind of funny, actually. Like, when I sent in my first promo as Brosif, one of the lines I said was, it won't be the first time The Rock declared me the winner of a promo challenge, bro. The staff wanted to get that out of there because they didn't want people thinking that he was going to curry favor to me because we had crossed paths in the past. So, but I mean, they knew.
Okay.
That's a great line, though. They've left it in, right?
No, they took it out. Because again, they didn't want people being like, oh, he's already, you know, he was on Tough Enough and The Rock already knows him. It's like, that's, you know, they didn't want that happening, which I understood, but you know, it wasn't like, they didn't say wrestlers couldn't enter. They didn't say I couldn't. So I was just like, I'm going for it.
Because the finals, it was in Las Vegas, right? With The Rock actually there.
Yes, The Rock himself was there, and he was the one that made the final call. Like, all the wrestlers I had just named, and there were a few others. Rey Mysterio was another one. They were the judges up to that point, and then The Rock himself was the judge declaring the winner in the finals in Vegas.
That's a sweet belt you got, by the way.
I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, should be.
I'm glad you got to keep it, because, you know, I know a lot of promotions, you know, the promotion keeps the belt, but...
Right.
I actually have it.
I get to keep it. And I'm not sure if this is true, but I'm led to believe that it's the only shoot belt in pro wrestling. Like, it's the only championship belt in the realm of professional wrestling that I won that wasn't based on a predetermined decision. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I actually won that belt, and I'm very, very proud of that.
You should be. They can't take that away from
you. No, they can't.
That's awesome. The first ever Rock the Promo champion.
The best come and go, but nobody forgets the first.
Absolutely. So through your career, I mean, you're doing everything Hood Slam, you local guy. How did you get, you were working with All Pro Wrestling, you were tag champion there. Now you are the voice of All Pro Wrestling. You do the ring announcing there, which is awesome. Just what's that been like, getting looped back into All Pro Wrestling and just how you've seen them grow to the point now where we're running the Cow Palace?
Dude. It's been great. Like, APW is such a supportive group of guys. That entire community is really great. Marcus Mack and Johnny LaRocca, who are the brains behind APW.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure to work with those guys. They're so creative. They have such a precise vision of what they want APW to be, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to come back and contribute. You know, Tough Enough was instrumental in showing me that my contributions to pro wrestling are far more valuable behind a microphone than they are in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just didn't want to beat myself up anymore. Like, I just, you know, not just because a lot of wrestlers turn into cautionary tales, but just like, I just didn't want to be in pain that much anymore. Yeah. It's not, for me, it just wasn't worth it. So I was just like, kind of struggling, like, how else can I contribute? And so when I realized that I was, you know, comfortable with the gift of gab, Hood Slam really busted open the possibilities for me, just as far as like hosting and ring announcing and commentary. And I was wondering if, you know, Marcus and LaRocca were interested in my services. And it's like they actually had the same thought in mind. So again, timing was right. And I'm thrilled to be a part of APW again.
That's really cool. And you brought up a good thing, just like as far as the community. And that's one thing Jimbo and I have noticed in the last couple of years, that now that we've gotten back into independent wrestling, is a case in point. So Chasta, we've been trying to describe to Chasta about why we love supporting APW so much. And I try to, the example I gave her was, her and I, we love also supporting local music, the Bay Area music. And we go to these shows and we become friends with all the bands and a lot of their fans, and it become family and friends to all of us. And I tell her, very similar experience, the wrestling side of things. It's just Jimbo and I, a lot of shows we've been going to, see a lot of familiar faces.
Sure.
And a lot of the same people, even the wrestlers themselves, the refs, everyone there, the announcers, Kevin Gill, and everyone, they all are very just warm, welcoming, and it's just, we all like geek out, we all hang out before and after the events, and it's just really cool as far as the community side of things, hence why I can't wait for this, the Cow Palace show, just to kind of, on that large scale, see everyone come together, almost like a family reunion of sorts.
Yeah.
But it's really true. Just like you just brought up a really cool thing. Just, I think that's why it's so easy to support you guys, just because you guys are so nice to us in return. So
well, we're all there. APW wouldn't be there if it weren't for the fans. Yeah. I mean, no wrestling promotion would exist if it weren't for the fans. And so we're all there. The wrestlers and the fans are there because we all love pro wrestling. And we all get to, you know, geek out and yell and scream, and, you know, performers get to live out their dream of being a pro wrestler, and the fans get to enjoy a hell of a show. And it's, you know who Chasta, I really hope Chasta comes out to Cow Palace Royale. You know who she would love?
Who's
Jekylls.
That? Oh, no.
Chasta would love Jekylls.
She would run
Jekylls. Jekylls the Jester.
We need to get her like a front row seat, like right near where he comes out and have her mess with it.
She's going to kill us.
She'd love it.
No, but actually, no, here's the thing. And to AJ's credit, the fact that, you know, he knows about Chasta, hates clowns, all that stuff.
Why, Chasta?
I got to give AJ credit. Like, this is what I love about AJ. He is such a big supporter of 107.7 The Bone, one of the biggest boneheads in the Bay Area. And so AJ and I go way back on just a lot of things as far as Nickelback.
Actually, do you remember how we first connected?
I haven't heard this story.
Oh, it's
you need to tell this.
Wait, was it Nickelback?
No, it was before that even.
Well,
check it out.
Not the World Series trophy.
No. It was before even that.
All right, let's hear it.
Remind me. Sorry, now I sound like an ass for not remembering.
No, it's no big deal. So I called in years ago. I think it was like 2012 or something.
Okay.
Do you remember now?
Okay, so I called in
and won Bob Seger tickets.
That's right.
And then I think you were the one that took my information.
Yes.
And then you were just like, were you on Tough Enough? Like, you sent me a text or an email or something. Were you on Tough Enough? I was like, yeah. Are you a wrestling fan? And you're like, the big wrestling fan.
That's right.
Yes. I was just like, oh, that's so cool. And then we just connected from there.
That's awesome.
No, but honestly, I mean, I know AJ has such a huge following online on social media, but he always, you know, gives credit to the Bone and just gives us shout outs. And
love it.
I mean, I really appreciate it. Just everything he does for this station.
Absolutely.
The support. And that's crucial. I just think, you know, especially what we try to do as a station, just trying to support.
Well, I've always loved what the Bone does, and I was even listening to, you know, Lamont and Tenelli back when they were on KSJO.
I've been
a long time listener, a huge fan, and I appreciate what you guys do, just keeping the Bay full of rock and roll. I've always had a soft spot for rock and roll. I'm so glad that there is a station I can just turn to, and there's almost always going to be a song on there that I can just immediately lose myself in. So super appreciative for what you guys do and how you continue to support, especially, I mean, obviously live music, but also local wrestling.
And that's the other thing. I'm surprised, you know, AJ, that when you come out and like, you don't come out to like Nickelback or something like that. Show your love for that band.
Are you a big Nickelback fan?
Are you freaking kidding me? Do not get me started. You already got me started. It's too late. I freaking love Nickelback. Nobody believes me when I say it. They always think I'm joking because they're the most hated band in the world. To hell with all of you. I love Nickelback.
No, to your defense, I will say this. Like, I'm not going to act like I'm some huge Nickelback fan, but I love going to their concerts because there's a ton of women there, hot women. They remind me of, like, the Bon Jovi of this era. Yep. As far as it's hit song after hit song, and the girls just get loose and partying up out there.
No, it's an amazing show.
It is fun.
Like, not only for the female presence there, but, like, the pyro.
Yeah.
Video screens. Like, they put on a freaking show. A lot of people don't know this, but so at Hood Slam, as Brosif, I have whiskey. I have a hand. I have a bottle of whiskey with a spout on it, and I'll do the Hulk Hogan ear to each side of the ring, and whoever's the loudest, I will go to that side of the ring, and that side of the ring, everybody gets a shot of whiskey, like straight into their face.
That's awesome.
Not always into their mouth, but at least straight into their face.
Yeah.
And you know where I was inspired to do that? I went to a Nickelback show, and of all people, they brought out Guy Fieri, who started throwing beers at people. Red Solo cups filled with beer. He just started throwing beers at people, and I'm just like, this would be a lot of fun at Hood Slam. So everybody who's listening to this, who has gone to Hood Slam, every time you get free whiskey from Brosif Joe Brody, you can thank Nickelback for that.
There's a little bit of Nickelback in every shot.
Yeah, which means there's a little bit of Nickelback in every one of you. How's it feel?
Well, just speaking of Hood Slam real quick, just in case anyone who's never been to a Hood Slam show, how would you describe Hood Slam? Because I there's a variety of characters.
Yes.
And it's not, you mentioned earlier, it's not for the kids.
Don't bring your effing kids is one of our cherished slogans. Hood Slam is a pro wrestling party. Mm-hmm. It's not a pro wrestling show. It is a party. We've got a live band, the Hood Slam Band, who absolutely kills it every single time. It's at a music venue, the Oakland Metro Opera House, every first Friday. So there's like 3 bars at the venue, so you're never at a shortage of booze. And if you're ringside, like I said, you're never at a shortage of booze. You're getting some booze from me. And it's just pro wrestling for such a long time, I feel like, has been its own worst enemy in that it tries so hard to convince the audience that what they're seeing is real when the secret's out. Secret's been out for years. Like, can we all just admit
still
what pro
real
wrestling
to me,
really
damn
is. It's still real to me, damn it. And I like to say that the art of pro wrestling is no different than the art in any other medium of storytelling, in that it's not about convincing your audience that what they're seeing is real. It's about making them forget that it's not. If you are convincing enough and passionate enough and talented enough to tell a story in a way to make your audience forget that what they're watching is not real, then you've done your job as a storyteller. That's why, you know, you want the special effects in Transformers or whatever to be amazing. You don't care that there aren't really aliens that came from space that look like American-made cards going after some cube that does whatever for whatever reason. You just want a good show. You want a good story. And that's what wrestling is. So if you're still hung up on the fact that pro wrestling is not genuine athletic competition, if you're still asking people, wait a minute, you know pro wrestling is fake, right? Yeah, no doy. It's fake. Get over it. Let yourself enjoy pro wrestling, and that's what Hood Slam does. It makes it so ridiculous, so over the top, that you can't help but enjoy it and get lost in it and feel like you're 12 years old again. Only with a joint and a drink in your hand.
Yeah, just what every 12-year-old wants.
Right.
But no, I completely agree with you. I've had this argument with my friends, and I got to credit my friend Mark Abrigo because I don't know if you watched The Walking Dead or anything like that. I won't give any spoiler, but a major character was killed in the season premiere this year.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was losing their S about it on Facebook and stuff like that. And my friend Mark put out this very apropos status. He was like, all of you losing your crap over blankety blank, you can't give me any crap about liking wrestling anymore,
right,
it being fake, because it's no more fake than watching The Walking Dead or the Game of Thrones,
exactly,
or anything like that. It's a story that you're buying into.
Right. You know that Brad Pitt is not really Tyler Durden and he's not really beating the hell out of people, but for 2.5 hours, Brad Pitt's Tyler Durden. You're just going to go along with it. And if it's a well-told story and if he plays that character convincingly, you can go along with it and enjoy the story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, it's a lot of fun. Just Hood Slam. It's just, and that's the other thing Jimbo and I have really noticed. It's just in the Bay Area and all over California and just around the country, a lot of promotions, independent promotions are on the rise. And Jimbo, to his credit, he noticed it's very similar, kind of going back to the old like territory days.
Wrestling's in a really good spot right now.
And between that and like just Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, New Japan.
Lucha Underground.
Yes. of course, for Jimbo. It's just, it really, right now, like it's such on a rise as far as there is life after WWE. Like I think now.
Without it at all.
Yeah. I mean, that it just for people, I think, who think, oh, it's WWE or nothing. There are a ton of other options out there. So just kind of your perspective, do you agree as far as it's kind of like the territory days right now and that there's just so many options for a wrestler?
Yes and no. It's like the territory days in that there are places other than the WWE where you can go and be successful. Okay. I mean, take a look at a guy like Joey Ryan, who is in the main event at APW Cow Palace Royale in a steel cage match against Cody Rhodes, who is another great example, and I'll get into him shortly. Joey Ryan has had an amazing career without being signed to WWE. Like, he's had tryout matches here and there, and, you know, he was in Impact Wrestling for a hot minute, I think. Mm-hmm. But, like, he has been so inventive with the way he has branded himself. He was lucky enough that one of his videos went viral, but that's a result of his creativity and his ingenuity and his ability to manipulate the storytelling aspect of wrestling. If you don't know, if you haven't seen this video, Joey Ryan's penis is magic, and an opponent grabbed it, and then Joey Ryan somehow, if you know what a Hulk up is, he hulked up his penis.
It grabbed back.
His penis grabbed back, and then his penis flipped his opponent. The penis never came out. It's in his trunks the whole time. It's his opponent that has a hold of this penis, and then Joey Ryan's penis flipped his opponent. I think it's called the U-Porn Plex.
Correct.
Because U-Porn then sponsored Joey Ryan, which is another great example of why he is an example of somebody who can have a great career and not necessarily be signed to WWE. Kenny Omega is another great example. Yeah. Absolutely killing it in Japan, mm-hmm. having unbelievable 5-star matches, 6-star matches, whatever, Dave Meltzer.
We want to talk to Dave Meltzer, by the way. We wanted to talk about that, but
he somehow scored 120% on his test.
What a kiss ass.
Kenny Omega is having an amazing career outside of WWE. And those are just two guys. Cody Rhodes, life after WWE. He was in WWE for years and is now doing incredibly well as an independent wrestler with Impact Wrestling. And there is life outside of WWE. And that's one of the reasons why wrestling is in such a good place right now. You've got Lucha Underground, which is so different from anything a national audience has ever seen before. You've got Hood Slam here, which is for the 21 and over party crowd. You've got your traditional independent wrestling like APW, which is just cranking out incredible talent nowadays. Yeah. And to WWE's credit, NXT is absolutely stellar. Like, some phenomenal matches, some great characters coming up. It just puts wrestling in a really good place, and it's another reason why I'm just super thankful to be a part of it right now.
That's really cool.
Do you follow the outside of NXT, the current WWE product at all? Do you have any thoughts on sort of what you've seen from them recently, if you do follow it?
I am very happy to see guys who have busted their asses for years, decades in the indies, finally get their shot in WWE and that they're doing so well. The Sami Zayns, the AJ Styles, the Samoa Joes. I mean, they're doing...
Kevin Owens
is... Yes, exactly. Like, these guys were told for such a long time that WWE would never want them. And for a lot of them, whether they admit it or not, that's always been the goal. WWE's always been the show. Like, when you're growing up, chances are you're growing up watching WWE, and that's where you want to be. And these guys did not take no for an answer. They did not believe people when they said they were too small or too this or too that. Kevin Owens, not a body guy. Vince McMahon loves body guys. Kevin Owens did not match that mold, but he was so damn good that he broke that mold. AJ Styles, probably not even 6 feet tall, and Vince McMahon loves giants, but he's so damn good, they finally realized that. And I'd like to think that behind closed doors, Triple H and Vince McMahon together, like Triple H just kind of gestures broadly to NXT and then turns to Vince and says, see?
Yeah, totally.
See? Like, look at the talent they're cranking out right now. And not that they're just cranking out that talent right now, but this talent has been cultivating for years and years and years, and it's really cool to see these guys finally get their moment in the sun.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Going back to APW, and I mean, you have, you know, ringside seat for all everything that you've been doing with them. Who are some of the names, the talent at APW that you've really enjoyed watching that maybe the casual fan hasn't had a chance to see yet, or just somebody that you want to spotlight from All Pro Wrestling? Because they have some phenomenal guys there.
Oh, absolutely. Off the top of my head, Reno Scum, Adam Thornstow, and Lester the Legend. They recently got signed to Impact Wrestling, and super happy for them. And I'd like to wish Adam Thornstow a speedy recovery. He just underwent surgery, which is, you know, horrible timing. But those are two those guys have been working their ass off, and they definitely deserve it. The Samoan Werewolf, Jacob Fatu, close to 300 pounds, just an absolute monster of a man, but has the balance and the coordination of a high flyer and will bust out a standing moonsault like it's nothing. Like, just a freak athlete. The big F and deal, Carl Fredericks. Just a great look, great charisma. Again, just freak athlete.
That's what Will Quaven said. He's very chiseled. He's got, like, that perfect look that, like, JBL would, like, think would be awesome.
Yeah, like, he looks like he could be a superhero, but he's also got this kind of smirk that he could just be a supervillain if he wanted to be. I mean, Shotzi Blackheart, as far as the women go, she is just in your face and ballsy and does not take anything from anybody. And, you know, doesn't matter if it's a man or woman. I would not want to be in there with her. I mean, she can definitely hold her own against anybody. Top to bottom, man, APW is just the classic connection.
Yes.
Super entertaining tag team. And like, if you like a throwback to old school tag team wrestling, the classic connection are just so much fun to watch. Levi Shapiro and Buddy Royal. And they've got Brian Zane, who's somewhat of a YouTube sensation. Yes.
Wrestling with Regret.
Wrestling with Regret.
I love his YouTube channel.
Exactly.
Tell you a quick story.
Something for everybody at APW right now.
So this is my sort of like almost famous kind of moment because I love pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I usually say no to all these kinds of things. But I met Caesar Black on the Muni in San Francisco. And I was wearing this Pentagon Jr. Cerro Miedo sweatshirt. And he started talking to me, he threw up the Cerro Miedo and we started talking. He's like, yeah, I'm actually, I'm a manager in APW. I was like, oh my God, I love APW. You're Caesar Black. And we hit each other up on Facebook. Like a month or two later, he hits me up that, hey, like there's this show, PCW down in the shows in Torrance, Pentagon's fighting RVD. We're road tripping down there. Do you want to go? And, you know, I like Caesar's a great guy. I've only met him once, on Muni and stuff like that, you know. So it's like in my head, I'm like, you know, probably not like something that normally like mild-mannered James Kincaid, a.k.a. Bimbo Jimbo, would say yes to. But it's like, dude, this is a chance to road trip down with pro wrestling. So I had a Warriors game that I had to be back there Sunday afternoon.
Ugh.
So like I'm under a time crunch, but it's Caesar Black, Levi Shapiro, our buddy Matt, who is driving us, and Jacob Fatu and myself riding bitch. riding bitch down to Torrance and back.
You were middle nut?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, absolutely. And it was one of the most just outstanding experiences, road tripping down and spending a couple of nights in, you know, behind the scenes with some pro wrestlers. Yeah. I will never forget it. And so like Levi and Jake and Caesar and those guys, I mean, great, great people.
Yeah. And those like as much fun as we have in the ring and at shows and everything, it's those road trips and the conversations that you get into. And it's just those are the experiences that I miss. Like as I'm not wrestling as much anymore and I don't travel. I don't put nearly the miles that I used to put on because it used to be like L.A., San Diego, Bakersfield, like just all over the place. Right now, the furthest I usually go is like Fresno or something like that. Yeah. So it's not really those long road trips anymore. But those road trips are something special. I recently did a three-date stint, a tryout with WWE, and it was Phoenix, Vegas, and then San Diego, I think. And me and like four other guys just like packed in a car, just driving, making the show, driving through the night to the next town. And as much as I had a great time, like during the whole tryout process, like I had such a good time just being on the road with those guys.
Yeah, it's easy to see why those bonds are built, you right. know, and like, you know, I went on one and I could just tell like the rapport and stuff like that with those guys and just everything that, you know, they have it down. And it's just it was a really awesome experience to even just be a fly on the wall for one trip. So yeah. Much respect to that grind, too, because it's not easy. I mean, it's you do a show. You know, and you gotta unwind afterward, and then you gotta get up, and you're on to the next town and stuff like that.
Yep, so. And sometimes you're driving 12 hours, you know, total to wrestle 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
you know, and I mean, I know in some cases not even on the card, but taking your gear, you know, maybe thinking that you would be on it.
Yep, I mean, you know? if you're new and you're coming up and you really want to get that booking, it's like you'll make those trips, you'll help out as much as you can. You know, hopefully somebody doesn't show up and you bring your gear and, you know, you get put out there. You get some experience.
Well, that's the thing, AJ. So just a couple more questions. So let's just kind of go over the card for Cow Palace Royale, which is Saturday, May 6th. Get your tickets at allprowrestling.com. So any particular matches that stand out to you right now?
Obviously the main event, Joey Ryan against Cody Rhodes in a steel cage.
Yeah.
I'm laughing just thinking about what those two are going to come up with, because both of those guys are just so creative and so willing to just devote themselves to the match and to the art of wrestling that whatever they come up with is, I'm sure, going to knock the roof off the Cow Palace. As far as special guests go, Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, is going to be there, and first ever WWE Intercontinental Champion and one of the greatest minds in the history of wrestling, Pat Patterson's going to be there too. And just the history with Pat Patterson, the Cow Palace back when it was Roy Shire's territory, like so much.
It's right.
It's right that he's there. Like the history and the heritage behind this event is just off the charts. And then you've got the Cow Palace Royale, which is like a who's who of wrestling. It's X-Pac, it's Gangrel, it's John Morrison, it's Willie Mack. The list goes on and on. It's 30 entrants. It's 30 entrants of wrestling's past and future superstars.
Jeff Cobb, along with, with Vince Morrison and Brian Cage.
Yeah, so, Cage is going to be there,
There's so many names. Like, I'm just looking at their Instagram right now and just seeing all the names. War Pig Jody
Christofferson, absolutely.
Gangrel's going to be there.
I really am stoked to see Carl Fredericks and Will Cuevas for the internet.
Yeah, and those guys are two workhorses. They're absolutely going to tear it up. Shotzi Blackheart against Candice LeRae.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Bison Bragg. That's one of my like current favorite guys right now.
Yeah.
He reminds me of just like a young Dynamite kid. I mean, I love the Berkeley Brawler.
Dude, that is one of the best gimmicks I've ever seen, by the way.
That is a sense
of self.
A lesson in the character aspect of pro wrestling. And I legit have a hard time keeping a straight face during his intro. Yes. Like, as I'm just standing there, he's like on his knees acting
Arcade Fire.
Oh, God. Just this hipster mother. Like, I'm really trying hard not to laugh. And he's like, his back is to me, but his hands are like right up in my face. I'm just like, keep it together.
And also just announced Jekylls versus JR Kratos, San Francisco death match.
San Francisco death match. You hear that, Chasta? Jekylls the Jester.
Against
the God of War, JR Kratos.
That's going to be awesome.
It's a San Francisco death match, which means somebody's going to die. Why, Chasta? Why?
Angel Death should be there for that. But yeah, Super Beast. Like, I've seen wrestling before. He's a big dude.
Yeah, Super Beast is like 260 pounds of just raw muscle, 6'3" or 6'4", masked wrestler. Just he looks like Bane from Batman.
Yeah.
He looks like Bane.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Matt Carlos, who he's a great worker as well. So there's a lot of great guys going to be there. So it's going to be great.
I love seeing Matt Carlos work, because I was at the APW show when he first like took off the ref shirt and actually like, I don't know, I think he did a drop kick from the top rope, and thus his, you know, the in-ring APW career began.
Yeah.
So it's always cool watching him.
So yeah, just a lot of great matches there. So just real quick. So we got to remind everyone. So here's the thing. If you've never been to an independent wrestling show before, get there early, because it looks like the fans are going to be outside
tailgating. There is going to be a tailgate that day. So get there early, bring some food, bring some drink.
But also the other thing is bring some extra cash, because the wrestlers will set up around the arena, I'm guessing, with their merch.
Yeah.
So definitely support these guys as far as, I mean, they'll have various t-shirts and other knickknacks and cool things for sale. And
I mean, they bring t-shirts and posters and pictures and toys and masks and like just all kind of cool stuff. And
it's great just to interact with them. I mean, to just like Jimbo, you pointed this out, like where else can you go up to someone, thank them for just being a fan of theirs for so long, all the work they've done. So this is a great way just to interact with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and every one of them is so cool. Like, they're so appreciative that you would just, first of all, come to the show.
Yeah.
Like, just the fact that you're there means a lot to everybody on the card. But, like, come up and get a picture and, you know, ask them who their favorite wrestler is. Like, if there's one thing all of us can talk about all day, it's wrestling.
Yes. And also, AJ, real quick, I know you're going to be in Las Vegas next week.
Yeah, so I'm going to be in Vegas at the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino as part of the Cauliflower Alley Club. And if you don't know what the Cauliflower Alley Club is, it's an annual reunion for people within the business, but fans have access as well, to honor the history and the heritage of pro wrestling. So, like, They just honor some of the veterans that are still with us, some of the veterans that are no longer with us. And it's a great way to network. It's a great way to just kind of be around the people who have paved the way for what wrestling is today. Mm-hmm. And for the past several years, I've conducted seminars where, you know, and it's a great learning experience, too, because there are a bunch of seminars at these things where people you can just drop in and attend. And this year is by far my biggest one yet, because I will be conducting a promo seminar alongside WWE Hall of Famer and, for my money, the greatest announcer of all time, Jim Ross.
Holy Lord.
Yeah. So just the fact that, I mean, it's Jim Ross. Like, just the fact that he agreed to be a part of this with me is huge. And, you know, if there's usually one, like, standing room only seminar at Cauliflower Alley, and I'm willing to bet this is going to be it. So I'm just so thankful to Cauliflower Alley Club for trusting me to be in that position. I'm thankful that Jim Ross would do this with me. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be Wednesday, May the 3rd at 10 a.m. At the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino in Vegas. That's the last day of Cauliflower Alley. And that night is like the big blowout banquet. So that's what I'm preparing for right now. And believe me, I'm treating this as what could be the biggest night of my career.
That's really cool. So
thanks.
Listen, AJ, thank you so much for making the time today.
Oh, my pleasure, guys.
We really appreciate it. So where can people find you online, your social media handles?
Social media whore. Yes. Self-described social media whore. At AJ Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H, on all things social media. You know, like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, subscribe on YouTube. And Brosif also has his own social media because I like keeping the two somewhat separated. At BroJBrody on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.com/BrosifJoeBrody. Support the cause. Follow, buy some merch, and come up and tell your favorite wrestler that you enjoy watching them work, because that goes a really long way.
Totally.
For when you're tired, you're sick, you're hurt, you don't want to do it. Hearing that just means the world to somebody chasing down their dream.
Are you on ProWrestlingTees.com?
I am on Pro Wrestling Tees. Yes. ProWrestlingTees.com/BrosifJoeBrody. And then also BrownButterWrestling.com/BrosifJoeBrody. That's got all the Hood Slam exclusive merch on there. So,
okay. So, yeah, I encourage everyone, make it a weekend. So,
Hood Slam
Friday night.
Friday, Cinco de Mayo Hood Slam. Start hydrating now.
Oakland Metro
Opera House. Thank you. Friday, May the 5th. Don't bring your effing kids, 21 and over. Saturday, APW Cow Palace Royale. It's going to be one of the biggest shows in Bay Area history.
Yeah.
By far the biggest show APW has ever put on. That's Saturday, May the 6th. And then Sunday, May the 7th, you got lowdown on
Caesar Black's event at the food trucks. So if you're in San Francisco, where Slim's and DNA Lounge is one block over, there's the Costco parking lot. And right
across
the street.
That's 11th Street, right?
Yeah. So right across the street is this really nice upscale, like, food truck kind of set up there, and I guess there's a big opening where I guess Caesar Black's going to put on a show there.
So cool.
So it's really cool.
Great weekend for wrestling.
Hell absolutely. Yeah. So, AJ, listen, thank you again for just everything you've done for the business, everything you've done supporting this radio station, 107.7 The Bone, and, like, we encourage all listeners, go to the Cow Palace Saturday, May 6th, Cow Palace Royale for all pro wrestling's big event, and go out there, support AJ and the rest of the guys and girls out there. So, gonna be a lot of fun. Jimbo and I will be out there front row cheering everyone on.
Because you got tickets already, right? Yes. You're not waiting for me.
No, I didn't, never going to wait again.
Yeah. We're all good. I learned my lesson, people. Right. So, Jimbo, where can people find you online as well?
You can find me bimbo.jimbo on Instagram, at James Kincaid on Twitter, or at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter, which is my Lucha Underground podcast social media. So they're coming back at the end of the month. So I live tweet
May 31st,
the episodes,
I think.
Yes, May 31st.
I need to catch up then.
At the end of next month, rather. So yeah, you need to catch up.
Well, they're on Netflix now. That's
Lucha
huge for Lucha
Chill.
Underground.
Absolutely.
Lucha Underground season 1 and 2 on Netflix.
Like, I think it's a game changer for them and wrestling in general.
Totally.
So yeah, hit me up there and
And you can follow me on Facebook at Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. Listen to our interview with Cody Rhodes up at 1077thebone.com. Very fun interview. You can hear in the beginning how Jimbo got the full name Bimbo Jimbo from his Stardust days.
I heard that before we started the interview, and I'm very glad I did. Definitely worth checking out.
Thank you. So on that note, thank you again, AJ, and we'll see you out there at the Cow Palace.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.